podcasters. This is Brooke with Let's Talk Art. Today I'm talking art with Frank Kelly of Louisiana. He's had an impressive career as an art consultant, trainer, and a speaker. We met on an art chat board, and I was really interested in what he had to say. Plus, he has my dream career. So I wanted to get him on the show as soon as possible. We talk about collecting, creating, and why learning how to do art the right way is a good thing. Enjoy! That's very cool. So tell me, I'm so impressed with what it is that you do. I was really, well, first of all, I was impressed with the chat board we were on that I met you on. And I just liked how you engaged everyone and just kind of, I don't know, I just thought it was very, very cool. And then when I found out that you were an art consultant and an artist and all just your impressive career, I was just like, wow, that's really neat. I got to get him on the show. So very cool. So how did you get into art?
Actually, when I was a kid, I used to doodle like most kids. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a rural community, wasn't much to do, and actually, I was told in the third grade, they asked, what did you want to be when you grew up? And I said, an artist. Mm-hmm. But I had no early academic training, in elementary nor high school.
Right.
I was being tested, but I didn't realize it, and I got a scholarship to Houston Art Institute, a two-year.
Uh-huh.
But, I didn't take advantage of it. I went on to Grambling State University in Louisiana Tech, and at Grambling, I majored in business management, and I took a chance to take my drawings to the art department.
Mm-hmm.
Showed them to the director, and he gave me an opportunity to take one class.
Uh-huh.
And that's when the rest is history. I ended up getting a business management degree and a fine arts degree.
Neat. That is really cool.
I didn't know how to draw correctly. I didn't understand the principles of art. I didn't understand any art history. I didn't have any of that. I was raw talent.
Right.
Walking into a building where you had all these great artists coming from all over the country to that university, because at that particular time, you couldn't hardly even walk down the hallways. It was so many artists from
right.
different places because the director was so well known.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Well, I mean, you said something that you didn't know how to draw correctly, but I mean, is there such a thing as drawing correctly?
Well, I didn't understand perspective.
Okay.
I didn't understand balance.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand value. I didn't understand how things actually work, how you position certain things to make them come alive in terms of in drawing.
Uh-huh.
At that particular time, I had a heavy hand, and I only drew one way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would draw one way, and so I learned how to shade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I learned how to, in other words, techniques.
Right.
That I was able to accumulate.
Mm-hmm.
Through my academic training.
Right.
And go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. I was just agreeing with you.
Mm-hmm.
So, but something that struck me when I was looking at your stuff is, I mean, like, I love abstract stuff, but mm-hmm. And I was looking at your other stuff, but you can draw too. You can and people will always say that that abstract is kind of like a cop out for people who can't draw, but I find that mm-hmm. the best abstract people, like, they really can draw. They can do representational art.
Yes. Originally, that was something that was a big emphasis in school.
Mm-hmm.
Learning to draw.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's my innate ability. I was born with that particular gift to be able to draw. But what happened for me, I became a better artist when I was able to explore.
Yeah.
getting in touch with myself.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I can explain that more.
Yeah.
Coming into my own, basically, yes, I had learned academic training, but reflecting back into as an individual, as a person, but also the gift itself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And once I was able to relate in terms with the gift itself, and by which I accumulated that from, basically I accumulated that from just painting or creating something of memory.
Mm-hmm.
My upbringing, mm-hmm. which gave me an opportunity to reflect. And once that occurred and happened, then things started to come to fruition in terms of in a realistic form, in a more realistic form, where over time, as time progressed, my work would evolve.
Mm-hmm.
You would start seeing movement mm-hmm. in my work. That's when I really, really, I think I had come to a major progression in my work mm-hmm. when I started to see actual movement appear.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, not know. I can only. I mean, if you were coming into it raw with like no experience, and then like the first time that you drew something that like actually moved, I can totally see how that would be like.
Yeah. Like, but it was a period of time before that occurred. That was, you know, after going through college and. You know, over a period of time, after going through some particular growing pains, I guess you call them,
right?
And getting in touch with yourself mm-hmm. as an adult, and and then being able to understand how important meditation and prayer
mm-hmm.
Prior to painting, and. All those things, the inner connection, spiritual
yeah.
connection.
Yeah.
And once I was able to understand it and be a part of it, that's when a lot of things, were taking place.
Mm-hmm. So you said that prayer is very important. So do you pray like before you do any art? Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I do not paint at all without praying first.
Yeah. What do you ask for?
Do not lift. What do I ask for?
Yeah.
I ask for guidance.
Mm-hmm.
I ask for deliverance. I ask for creativity. Most of all, I ask for, God Almighty, that the work that I'm producing.
Mm-hmm.
Be touched by someone that it would make a difference in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
It would make them happy. It would give them some thought,
mm-hmm.
A different mindset,
mm-hmm.
possibly.
Yeah.
Depending on what it is that I'm creating.
Mm-hmm.
And and find joy within. Wherever it goes, if it goes in a home,
yeah,
let it be a part of the home,
mm-hmm.
and let it, be a part of the family.
Yeah,
it's things like that, and also not just that. I ask for a favor.
Uh huh.
And favor for me is that the world will be able to see this piece.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not only, I want everyone to see it. I want everybody to experience it.
Yeah.
And to get right down to it, in terms of also what I pray for, is that God utilize my hands
mm-hmm.
and my mind
yeah.
and my soul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's... I think that's really important. I think that's a really cool thing. And it says on your website that you have you have a lot of famous collectors who have your pieces in their collection.
Yes, I do.
So it sounds like you have been granted favor with some people.
Well, I like to think so, in that realm, but you know, there are a lot of collectors who don't have name recognition, mm-hmm. who are also very very important, mm-hmm. Who have major collections that a lot of collectors are like. Well, collectors are very well, we all are special, but collectors are very unique in their own way. They, you know, whatever it is that they collect, they collect. And some of them call them hoarders, but there, some of them are collectors or whatever the case may be. But a lot of them aren't. A lot of them collect art because it makes them feel some. It's very unique, mm-hmm. in terms of getting their responses, mm-hmm. and I find those who purchase work because someone else has that particular artist's works, and then there are those who buy for investments, and then there are those who buy because the piece moves them.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. And that was something.
Oh, they buy for all three.
Yeah, that's true. That was something else you mentioned on your website, and I was curious about that too. You said that your art is investment quality, and I wasn't sure. Is all art investment quality? I mean, what makes it that? What makes it investment quality?
Well, investment quality, from my perspective, okay, mm-hmm. Would be. Depending on, I guess, my level of I guess what that means is the fact that the paintings that I have created are part of being, you know, I don't give myself actually the credit because it's a God-given gift. Uh-huh. And I try to stay humble as possible so he could continue to use me. Mm-hmm. Because without him, I know I could not do this. Because I've been an artist a lot of times. I know I'm getting off the subject, but a lot of times I have recognized the fact when I could not paint, uh-huh. I could not draw.
Yeah.
And I had to wait, mm-hmm. for my higher being to come into play.
Right, right.
So, but to go into investment art, the term investment art, yes, I would say if you purchase anything that makes you feel good or that, you know, something that you like or what have you, mm-hmm. from that term, from that particular instance, all art is investment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But from a monetary long-term perspective, mm-hmm. my work is also an investment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's really cool that, like, I don't know how many artists can say, like, oh, I remember when I didn't know how to paint. Well, I'm sure they all can, but I mean, like, I'm not sure how many people would. I don't know. It's just, I think that's an interesting way to think about things. I remember when I couldn't paint. That's, or I couldn't draw. I think that's great. I think that's
really one of my goals, Brooke, was to, and I've done this probably the long way.
Yeah.
I've been full time for 21 years. Uh huh. I was full time. I was in the automobile industry for 18 years, and I painted behind the scenes. I worked on each genre, landscapes, abstracts, and figures for 15 years.
Wow.
And I would work from 7 to 7, uh-huh. 6 days a week.
It's a long day.
And I would come home, and I would go to sleep for an hour. My wife would awaken me, uh-huh. and I would work through 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning and get a bit of rest, mm-hmm. maybe 2 or 3 hours, and get up and do it again.
Wow.
For years. Missed a lot of family outings. A lot of, of course, some things I regret, but a lot of things I don't, because I've seen the the work has progressed over years in time, and so, but it was one of those things I had to put in the effort, and it's been a lot of sleepless nights, it's been a lot of travels, it's been a lot of everything in order to get to this point where I am. And one of my goals, one of the things, of course, I've always wanted to make a living at it. And actually what happened in 2000, I was discovered, I was chosen to be in Art and Antiques magazine.
Neat.
As an emerging artist.
Yeah.
And they did a feature on me.
Uh-huh.
And several major art collectors throughout the world contacted me.
Wow.
And that's when General Motors came into my life.
Uh-huh.
And they were doing summer and winter conferences at these major resorts. And I was exclusive.
Wow.
I would come there and set up my work for that weekend for all the dealers and executive wives, dealer wives, vendors, major vendors, ADP Corporation, you name it, those kinds of folks. And these dealers had more than GM stores. They had Mercedes, BMW, Porsche, Lamborghini, different ones.
The big leagues.
And next thing you know, I'm doing the artwork for their stores.
Wow.
And their homes.
Wow.
And ADP Corporation. I did 5 paintings for their major dining room.
Oh, wow.
In their home office in Chicago. And so from there, I met my publicist.
Uh-huh.
And she then introduced me to Suzanne DePasse, who helped discover the Jackson 5 and produce the Lonesome Dove series.
Oh, my gosh.
And then I presented one of my paintings to her, to her people at the Los Angeles Museum,
uh-huh,
for the Lonesome Dove reunion.
Wow.
And all the actors were there for that.
Oh, my gosh.
And then right after that, I got a phone call from my publicist. She had made a call to someone, Suzanne DePasse.
Uh-huh.
Next thing you know, I'm doing the Color Purple exhibit for Oprah.
Oh, my gosh.
In 2007.
Wow.
It was 25 of us, national and international artists.
Wow.
And it was downtown L.A. And it was extraordinary. It was called the Purple Color Exhibit, and the carpet was purple. And when you walked in, and the lights and everything, it was like being on an awards show or something on the red carpet. It was incredible. And when Janet Dubois called my name, that's when I knew I had been discovered.
Wow.
She was on Good Times.
Yeah.
She knew me personally, yeah.
Oh,
and so that's when I started getting into the entertainment industry, because
uh-huh,
that led to an award show, a couple award shows. And then Jane Seymour, Lynn Anderson, and Barbara Eaton Foundation in Santa Fe.
Oh, my gosh.
And when I would auction my work, and I would do that, of course, they would give me a percentage. Well, guess what? There were people in the audience that said, okay, I couldn't get that one, so can you do one for me? So one thing led to another, and then I got into Jazz and Blues Society.
Wow.
And that was a national and international society, which took me from the United States into the international. And so then some other entertainers, and gotten involved with several other things I've done that has really helped my career.
Yeah.
And so and I'm just really grateful that I could go on and on. I was just accepted in the permanent collection of the Charles Wright History Museum.
Oh, wow.
And wow. My work was appraised by a very well-known appraiser out of Philadelphia, mm-hmm. who also helped position some of the pieces in the Chase Bank in New York and also ExxonMobil collection. And she is from then, she's introduced me to other collectors since then. And so that was this year that occurred. Wow. And of course, I had a one-man show there in 2010. And we had over 300 people attend that event. And I've done work on, I had a show on Capitol Hill. That was extraordinary. It's Senator Mary Landrieu's home. And Las Vegas. Just different places throughout the country. So.
So did you have any idea when you were asking for favor that this was going to happen? All of the stuff?
Yes, because the guy I serve has everything.
Yeah.
And he's getting me prepared for my next opportunity and journey. It's about, I've gone through some things. I'm now prepared. He had to prepare me. And I don't know if I'm prepared, but he knows.
Yeah.
But I know that something is about to occur.
Yeah.
In my life.
Well, that's pretty cool. Why do you think?
Because I haven't accomplished what I want yet.
What you want yet?
No.
But you've accomplished a lot.
There's some things I want to do in my career that will benefit many. Until I do that, I won't use the term unsatisfied, but I feel that some things will be unsatisfactory for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So my goal is to achieve those things so that I can set up foundations and do things for several kids who want to go into the arts and design opportunities for them to have jobs and careers.
I love that. I absolutely love that. I was reading about like just how you stress the importance of art education or just people learning about art, and I think that's so important.
Well, I think it's important to learn all phases. I think people should understand that raw talent is very important. Self-taught artists is very important. I think they should also realize academic artists are very, all phases of art is very important, and it has its place.
Yeah.
If anything, and we shouldn't put things in a box. Right. We shouldn't put artists. You know, and I would have to say that because I'm one of those artists. I don't particularly paint one genre. I paint everything. I paint landscapes.
Yep,
I paint figures. I paint abstracts. And so there are things I want to say and express that I wouldn't want to express in a representational piece because it would hurt feelings. It would affect people.
Yeah.
In a certain way. I wouldn't want to do that. I'm not that kind of person. So I rather apply that effort in an abstract painting.
Yeah, I like that.
You know, instead of I'm a very diverse person. I believe in togetherness. I believe in love. I believe in everybody working together. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I believe. And so I can't, a lot of things I like to say in that, some of the folks that purchased my work would not, you know what I mean? They wouldn't receive it.
Right.
Or I don't want to be looked upon as that person who's trying to divide or whatever the case may be.
Right.
That's just not who I am.
Right.
Although I may have an opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what, I mean, that and that's a tough thing because, I mean, like, everyone has opinions and everyone feels, and I'm sure you feel really strongly about some of your opinions. And if the people, like, okay, I'm not even quite sure what I'm asking, but I mean, like, so if you feel very strongly about, if you have an opinion about something that's very, you feel very strongly about, and someone else does not have that opinion, mm-hmm. I think that's the beautiful thing about art is like, art is kind of like beyond opinions. You can like express opinions in art and like no one really knows. I mean, someone with an opposite opinion can appreciate it.
Well, you know, if you do it from a
abstract, I guess.
Not in an abstract form, but mm-hmm. if you do it in a representational, mm-hmm. Natural representational form where people can see the words and see the visual.
See the pictures, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that alone has a message, a blunt message.
Yeah.
I mean, it's right there in your face.
Yeah.
Type of, I may feel that way.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not going to, you know, that's just not who I am. I'm not just going to do that. I'm going to do it. If I'm going to approach it, I'm going to approach it from a different way, in a different genre.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think that's...
Because we all have, I don't know if we want to call them demons, but we have things that bother us, each and one of us, and... We have our opinions about it.
Right.
And it may not settle with you or it may not settle with me. And sometimes we need to express it.
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't need to verbally communicate that with someone. You don't need to place that on social media. You
right.
don't need to put that out there because you don't know who it's going to affect or harm. And some people don't really care. I do.
Yeah, yeah.
I do. I care.
Yeah.
So I'd rather, and I have another outlet, and that outlet is art.
Yeah.
So I have an opportunity to express it in my abstracts.
Yeah.
Because I painted, when I created 7 paintings for COVID,
mm-hmm.
I was in denial for 3 to 4 months
mm-hmm.
of COVID.
Yeah.
Until it started to hit home.
Yeah.
And that's when I started to create these abstracts. With all this entanglement,
mm-hmm. yeah,
you can see it. It's there,
mm-hmm.
but and the term and basically how I was feeling, and I just needed to vent.
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't do it in such a way that it affected someone else from just looking at it from the eye.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, you didn't take to social media and
right. tell people that. And I didn't go out there and say what this painting is about.
Right.
I didn't do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I said it's, you know, and that's the thing about art. You have your own interpretation, so
yeah.
what you see and what you feel, go for it.
Right, right. Yeah.
I can give it a name.
Yeah.
But I don't have to give you my interpretation of it.
Right, yeah. You can let people get their own interpretation.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, and that is like the one thing that several things I like about art, but I mean that's probably one of the top things I like. Just the, you know, everyone has their own interpretation, or
and
can have them.
Everyone is opinionated. That's what it is. Yeah. It's opinionated.
Yeah.
It's whether you like it or you don't, or you fall in love with it, or it moves you, or it doesn't.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Frank. This has been amazing. I'm so glad we connected.
Now, our discussion, I was wondering, were we just having this discussion, or were you doing anything with it, or...
Well, I recorded it, and I'm going to post it on my podcast.
Okay.
And I'll send you a link, and you can share it to all of your people, and that would be awesome, and hopefully I will go viral.
Well, let me ask you this. What else is it that you do with the artist?
With artists? I've done a lot of stuff. I've done, before COVID, I was doing some pop-ups. That's not happening anymore because everything's closed. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just like, I work pretty early in the morning. I work at Starbucks, so I'm work at 5 in the morning. So late nights are not a good thing for me. Mm-hmm. And so I like doing I've done the podcast for like 6 years, I think. And, I really just like talking to artists and finding out the story behind the art, their interpretations of it, just what they meant by it, what their background is, just all kinds of stuff about them, and mm-hmm. And I just post them.
Hmm.
So it's promotion for the artist, and they can share it, and.
Well, I noticed you are also a curator. Am I correct?
Well, I call myself an independent curator. Mm-hmm. That was when I was doing the pop-ups. I guess I couldn't fairly call myself that now because I don't really curate mm-hmm. anything. But I was doing pop-ups for a while, and I was working mm-hmm. with an artist. Well, one artist mainly, but I was working with several off and on. Mm-hmm. And I'm working with one now, but I'm not really doing much for her. So.
Why aren't you?
Huh?
Why aren't you? Why aren't you not doing much?
Because there's not a whole lot going on. I mean, I've tried to get her into a gallery, and I don't think they have not responded to me. I think I just found out that the owner's husband died, so I think she's occupied, otherwise mm-hmm. occupied. I was doing pop-ups in like bars and breweries, and they're all closed, or they don't want me bringing people in because they can only have so many. Mm-hmm. So I just haven't found my groove yet, my next thing yet. So I've been working on a book. Mm-hmm. And so I've been working on that. So just a lot of stuff I want to do, and just not enough time to do it in.
I understand.
But so that's pretty much me.
Okay. Well, I look forward to hearing the interview.
Yeah. I think it was really great, and I think that you're a very valuable person. I think it's neat that you're both an artist and you know so much about, like, I don't know, I've always been told that, maybe I'm just making it up because I'm that way, because I'm not very business oriented, but I mean, I don't know, it's just neat to see someone with the arts and the business skills, and just the knowledge and things that you have. I think that's very cool.
Well, thank you. That's all I can say to that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm out here like everyone else. You know, I'm doing what I can to try to make this world a better place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that art does. And I think that there's so many people that that don't feel like art is important. And I think you might not like all of it, and you don't have to. And I think that's the good thing, that you don't have to like all of it. But I mean, I think that it's important to know about it. Yes.
Excuse me, I don't mean to cut you off.
No worries.
You know, the people, you know what I think? I really think when you're not introduced to the importance of it when you're in when you're younger.
Yeah.
When you think that a bicycle is more important than art, when you think a basketball is more important than art, when mm-hmm. you think playing with your friends or doing whatever instead of going, you know, when you put emphasis on so many other things,
right,
and you ignore that area,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden you grow up, you go all these years from 1 year old to 21 year old,
mm-hmm.
and you get out of school, and then you get involved, you go take on a job, and you're in the throes of this culture that art is visible. It's at your sight,
mm-hmm.
and you see it each and every day. But it's something on the walls, and then you start to recognize
mm-hmm.
that this is very a unique place that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
But you really don't. It really doesn't come to fruition until you start going to different social events or different being in that type of environment and experiencing. It takes that for some people.
Mm-hmm.
It takes your acquaintances, your friends, in terms of what they do
mm-hmm.
and what they're involved in. It's a shame that that's something that you have to accumulate
mm-hmm.
later on in life after 20 to 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
Although you may have had some art in school, but it wasn't expressed because you've been deterred because so many people have used this term, starving artists, so much.
Yeah.
And you can't make a living at it. You need to leave it alone.
Right.
And then there are those who go in it who are very serious, do extremely well, but they keep their mouths closed.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good point. I like that.
And there are a lot of us, there's a lot of people out there
mm-hmm.
that are doing extremely well.
Yeah.
Now, how can this business be a $1 billion, $1 trillion business?
Mm-hmm.
And it not be something to take a look at
yeah.
as a career?
Absolutely.
Duh.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's that is awesome. You are speaking truth.
Because there are certain elites
mm-hmm.
that don't want you involved.
Yep.
Because it is available. There are folks out there, especially people that found their niche
mm-hmm.
In this internet business
mm-hmm.
and doing extremely well. And there are those who, you know, I'm in the rural area and community is about 150,000 people
mm-hmm.
in my locale.
Mm-hmm.
And the things, and there's some wealth here, there's some dollars, but if you were to go in their home, if you were to see them, you would think, nah, they don't purchase art.
Right.
But you go in their homes, you see beautiful pieces of art
mm-hmm.
because they travel.
Yeah.
They have homes in other areas. This is what they do when they go to other homes in their communities and they're in that particular environment, but not here as much.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Ah.
But then their children and friends or whatever the case may be, they're taught not to. That's something that you shouldn't be. You shouldn't put effort in.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think.
Unless you want to teach it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Oh, this has been so great, Frank. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me.
Keep my number, and you're very welcome to call me. And I enjoy speaking with you. And I'm glad somebody wanted to listen to whatever I had to say.
Yeah, we'll do it again for sure. Because this was fantastic. So yeah, for sure. So well, you have a wonderful day, Frank, and I will let you know when this posts. I'll let you know when this posts, and it should be. I usually say a week, but it might be two. But I will definitely let you know.
Because I don't really know what I said.
All good things.
Okay, just don't put anything that's not.
No, I don't.
Okay.
Cool. You have a wonderful day.
I'll find you.
Cool. Well, I will talk. Yeah. I will talk to you later, Frank. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Brooke.
Bye. Bye-bye. Thank you so much to Frank Kelly for chatting with me. It was really informative. If you want to see more of Frank, you can check out his website, frankkellyjr.com. It'll be linked in the show notes. Thanks for listening. This is a Hotspur Media production, music by Corey Knoxville.